Hello, welcome to the most dangerous podcast. How are you, James? James? Oh, that's right. He's not well. I'm going to have to be very honest with you. This week, we are not able to release a full podcast because James has been, he's been suffering since Christmas time, really. And we did have a few in the bag. We usually have a couple episodes stored up, but with Christmas and New Year, we've used them all up, and this week's episode we've been unable to record. So unfortunately, it's just me, and I'm gonna talk to you for 5 minutes and tell you that 15 episodes in, we've got our first clip show spectacular. Ooh. But first of all, what I'd like to say, and I know we keep saying this, and feel really awful, and James feels dreadful that we're not putting an episode out, because we absolutely love doing it and we love you guys and the support again, blah blah blah, we've said all this, the support you've given us is incredible, the fact that you're taking the time to download, listen to our podcasts, give us the 5-star reviews, we're so grateful for you doing that. And we didn't want to release nothing this week, so we also talked about, you know, he's on the mend now, but he's been so sort of under the weather, but he did say we'd try and do one, and we just thought, no, we're not just throwing together a podcast for the sake of it, doing a quick episode, doing something that's just not on par with what we'd normally like to be doing. So we've made the decision to take this week off. We'll be back again next week with another suggestion, just like last week's landmark from Bear Plays. We've got another one coming next week from a good friend, someone that James has spent more time with in later years, but someone I went to school with as well, knew him from far back, and he's given us a cracking idea. So we'll be recording that, all set to go out next Sunday, so things will be back to normal. We've talked about it before, we've got the series coming up. I'm excited to get started on that. That's something I think is going to hopefully take us up another level. It'll be a little bit different, but in a lot of ways the same thing. We feel that it would be quite nice for us to do something where we pick one subject and we have a couple of goes each at presenting things within that subject, and then debate, see who's got the most dangerous. So I think it'll be interesting. It's probably going to be 5 episodes. We'll be a bit of an introduction, a couple items each, and then a conclusion episode. So we're looking forward to that. We do invite your suggestions. Some of you will know this, some of you won't, but probably six, eight months ago, for a laugh, I started a TikTok channel called Scottish Top 10 Guy, doing top 10 of just random things, like the top 10 beans, the top 10 spoons, the top 10 things in my kitchen. And it, out of the blue, it grew to 54,000 followers. And a lot of the fun in that was actually people sending me suggestions, going, oh, can you do the top 10 Daleks? Can you do the top 10 goats? So I actually picked 10 random goats. This is Sheila, this is Dave, this is Graham. But there was always a real challenge when someone actually came to me and gave me the suggestion. It made it really exciting. So definitely, yeah, if you want us to do the most dangerous stereo speakers or the most dangerous celebrities with glasses, something like that, send us in your suggestions. You'll find us on, we're on Facebook, The Most Dangerous Podcast. We're on Instagram, The Most Dangerous Podcast. TikTok, The Most Dangerous Podcast. We're on YouTube, The Most Dangerous Podcast. There's a bit of a theme going there. You'll find us on all the kind of social media channels if you're not already following us. The podcast's on Spotify. I always say follow on Spotify. I don't have any affiliation with Spotify, but they seem to be the most popular going by our statistics. But we're also on Audible, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Google, YouTube Podcasts. We're on pretty much anything that does a podcast, you'll find us there. So anyway, all the best, James. We hope you're feeling better. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he'll be brand new to record again for next Sunday. We just, like I said, we didn't want to throw something together and give you something that's just shite. So we thought we'd put a clip show together. I know quite a few of you have joined us in the sort of later episodes, so I thought it'd be quite nice if you haven't listened to some of the early episodes, I'm going to pick some of my favourite bits, put them together. You can have a wee listen now. If you've listened to them all before, then don't worry, don't bother. Just switch it off now and wait for the next one to come out next week. Anyway, we appreciate your support. I hope you enjoy the clips, and we'll see you next week with the next episode of The Most Dangerous Podcast. See you then. Bye-bye. So hello, welcome to our new show. It's called The Most Dangerous...
Evening.
Oh, I wasn't ready for that.
well, you know, we're all new to this, so let's go.
So welcome to our new show. It's called The Most Dangerous Podcast, and we're going to be discussing dangerous things.
The world's most dangerous, isn't it?
No, it's just the most dangerous.
I thought we called it the world's.
I think someone else has called theirs the world's most dangerous podcast. So I don't know.
Yeah, but ours has got to be the world. I mean, like the world. It's surely the world's most dangerous. That's more interesting than just.
Yeah, but there's bigger places in the world. Ours could be. Ours is the most dangerous.
What's bigger than the world? What?
The universe, galaxies.
So we could call it the universe's most dangerous podcast.
We could do, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Green Boots die. He died, they think, in the Everest disaster in 1996, and he was discovered in 2001, where a bit of snow, obviously.
Hang on. What's the Everest disaster?
The Everest disaster, it was the storm on Everest. They made a movie about it. Have you seen the movie Everest?
What's his face in it? Sylvester Stallone?
No, I don't think so.
He was in one with a... Like a big hill there, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, what was that called? I'll have to look it up.
It was in Demolition Man.
I don't think it was that.
The Everest disaster, where there was a load of climbers, they didn't think a storm was coming. A storm came and blew them off the edge.
To put it like bluntly. Yeah. There's no storm coming here. Shit, there is. So originally, as I say, it's about 10,000 years old, cheese making, and it's a bit of a mystery how it first started. But we do know that around about the times of the Romans, so what, 2,000 odd years ago, cheese making had actually become widespread.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, people would eat and buy cheese back in the Roman times. But many of the popular cheeses that we see today, like cheddar and Swiss cheese, Parmesan, they've only actually been around for about 500 years. So as we know, we've got farmers and shops today that specialise in cheese. And the people who produce that cheese are called cheesemongers.
Cheesemonger.
A cheesemonger, yeah. So if you think about through history, you know, it's different types of mongers. You've got ironmongers, you know, the guys who'd make weapons for the armies and, you know, armour and all the rest of it. And then you've got fishmonger, who'd sail out to sea, collect all the fish and feed it to the villagers and all the rest of it. You know, so they're very highly regarded, I would have thought. Cheesemonger, fishmonger, ironmonger. You think of any other mongers?
Think of a few, yeah.
Can you?
I'd love to know what the actual, you know, definition of a monger is.
There's certain flies that can actually sort of burrow into you and lay their eggs. There's a fly called, have you ever heard of a bot fly?
Yes, I have. Yeah, yeah. I watch satisfying videos of them pulling botfly larvae out of like squirrels and stuff.
Oh my god! Yeah, so yeah, there's botflies do it. There was a couple of other screw fly, I think, is another one. So basically, they break into the host skin and deposit their maggots, their larvae into the host. I mean, mostly it's animals they do it to, but you know, yeah. It has been known to happen to humans. Most flies, or flies that do this, that they'll attack sort of open wounds. So, you know, if there's a gash or whatever, that they'll sort of land on that and lay, and then obviously the maggots will hatch, or the larvae will hatch and eat the dead flesh off the animal.
Oh dear, last thing you want is a fly landing in your gash.
Exactly. come on now. Come on, behave yourself.
So some of the games we played football, Conkers, Knock and Run, Kirby.
Knock and Run's not a game.
Is it not a game? Is that just
a game? If there's a game, someone has to win in a game, don't they? Like, who wins in Knock and Run?
Yeah,
it's not the poor old lady who has to answer the door, is it?
No, true. So suppose,
yeah, Knock and Run. I don't think Knock and Run's a game.
So Knock and Run's harassment, pretty much. Really. But some of the more inventive games, you remember Shit on a Stick?
I think I did. Oh, no, you'll have to remind me. Go on.
Yeah. Shit on a stick, where you got a big long stick, stuck it down a drain, got a bit of shit on it, and chased each other around with it. Whilst chanting, shit on a stick, shit on a stick.
Yeah, again, no? I don't think that's a game.
It's not. No. It's, okay, then.
It doesn't sound like much of a game. I kind of half remember it.
There was never a winner.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was always a loser.
Exactly. There was no winner. No one sits around and says, do you fancy a game of shit on the stick?
No, I suppose not. What about Gollies? Gollies was
I enjoyed that, actually. That was good.
Yeah, Gollies. I mean,
that was borderline harassment, but that was a game, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there was two of us, and there was a winner.
So. True, yes. But I wouldn't say any of the games we played were dangerous, although you did shoot my neighbour with my air rifle.
Oh, they shouldn't be walking past the fence at the time.
I know. Selfish.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
The only game I could think about from our childhood that was dangerous is, do you remember, I'm not going to use his real name, but we had a friend called Heaven Stickman that was...
Hello. I don't remember him. Don't know who you're talking about. No.
Do you remember he tried playing chicken and lost?
Yeah, he did lose at chicken. I remember that. He broke his lunchbox, I think.
Yeah.
When he hit
did,
the ground.
Yeah, he cried because he cried that his butty box had smashed.
So, yeah, we've got an interesting one this week, Fraser.
Go on, what have we got?
Well, I was chatting to a friend earlier in the week, at the start of the week, and we were trying to establish our spiritual animal, right? And we got into a bit of a discussion. For some reason, we thought that mine was a badger.
A badger? I think mine's like a dung beetle or something like that.
Dung beetle, right? Well, no. So I thought this week I'd do my kindred spirit a bit of a solid, and we're going to talk about badgers this week. So we're looking at the most dangerous badger. So African tribes have recorded sort of people dying, people being attacked by these honey badgers. So I did try and look up to see if there were any reported fights or deaths between humans and honey badgers. I'll be honest, I didn't find that much.
Right.
But I did find a report of one man who lived in Botswana, and he tried to take down a honey badger with a bow and arrow. Yeah, and like this was just a massive mistake number one, because like I say, the skin is so thick,
yeah,
that like an arrow can't even penetrate it.
What the hell?
Yeah, so he just ended up winding the thing up. So he had this badger cornered, and he was trying to shoot it with a bow and arrow, and it just didn't take him down. Unfortunately, during the fight, the man, in such a panic, mistakenly shot himself with the arrow and died.
I don't think that's unfortunate at all. I think that's no less than he deserved.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that scenario. Like, how'd you shoot yourself with a bow and arrow? Like, you do, it's that action, isn't it? Like, it's away from you.
He must have been using it wrong.
Yeah, or did it deflect off like some pots and pans and ricochet back into his face? Or I don't get that.
Maybe. It's a bit like, remember when Brian Harvey drove over his own head?
Yeah, after eating, was it 3 or 4 baked potatoes? I think he's got a blue plaque, hasn't he?
There is, there's a plaque on somewhere on this spot. Brian Harvey drove over his own head. Oh, you'll never top that.
Yeah, well, I don't know, this guy's trying his best, or he tried his best there. Like, how do you shoot yourself? I mean, I didn't get the full... So it was one of these websites, right? And I got... It gave you a snippet. It gave me a snippet of the story. And then to get the full article, it was like, do you want... You have to sign up. Put your website in here.
Oh, yeah.
Put your email address in here. And your bank details and that code on the back of your card, and then you can read it. So I was a bit like, I'm not doing that.
So are you ready?
Go for your life.
Okay, so one night in 1973, the two young McDaniel children of Enfield, Illinois, claimed to see a weird creature lurking in their yard and trying to get in the house. But Father Henry McDaniel chalked their creepy story up to the active imagination of childhood. However, he changed his mind later that night after being awoken by strange scratching sounds. McDaniel grabbed a gun and a flashlight and peered outside his front door. There, between two rose bushes, he saw a creature that was almost like a human body, just as his kids had described. It had 3 legs on it, a short body, 2 little short arms, and 2 pink eyes as big as flashlights, he recounted to a reporter. McDaniel said he fired 4 shots and was sure he hit the creature at least once, causing it to make a hiss, much like a wildcat's, before it ran off towards a railway embankment. McDaniel was stunned when he saw the monstrous beast jump 80 feet in 3 jumps before quickly running out of sight.
Did you say 80 or 8?
80.
80 feet?
80 feet, yeah.
Okay, carry on.
The police found scratches on the door screen as well as footprints in the dirt near McDaniel's home that looked like dog-like with 6 tool pads, yet no clues pointed to an unusual creature. McDaniel's sighting made the Reading Eagle, but it was clear most people didn't believe it was true. It didn't help that a 10-year-old neighbour faked his own eyewitness account of the beast, only to later admit his testimony was a prank against the McDaniels. McDaniel reported McDaniel reported 2 more sightings of the alleged beast to local cops, but he said they eventually threatened him with jail time because no one believed what he saw had been real. But McDaniel was
surprised, to be honest.
Stop calling.
Come on. He didn't jump 80 feet. It just didn't happen. Father. Is it Father Jack?
Yeah, Jack McDaniel. Where were we? But McDaniel was adamant and stood behind his scary true story. If they do find it, McDaniel said in an interview, they will find more than one, and they won't be from this planet, I can tell you that. After McDaniel's public testimony about the Enfield monster, other eyewitness claims began to surface. Monster hunters swarmed the town, and at least 5 men were arrested after firing shots in the area and claiming to have photographed the creature. To this day, no explanation has been uncovered for this small town creepy story.
Where are the photographs?
I think, yeah, they didn't. They had their thumb over the lens, I think.
We photographed it with a AK-47. I'm going to call bullshit on that one.
Another job of yours that I remember was when you lived with me. We've mentioned this in previous podcasts, but our short spell living together. And you worked in a news agent's and had to be in for like 6 a.m. And I'm sure we sat up drinking quite heavily one night. And
no, that's not true, actually. No,
is that not true?
No. So, yeah, I did work in a news agent's, and that's pretty... It messes up your body clock a little bit, that, because sometimes you have to be up at 6 in the morning. Sometimes you have to be... But wait, this was one of these news agents that stays open till 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Ah.
So it was a Saturday. I remember it specifically. And on the Friday night, I'd been out, or I'd been to yours or something, and just got completely tanked. But on the Saturday, I didn't have to be in work till about sort of 4 o'clock or something, 4 or 5 o'clock. And then I'd do the evening shift.
The night shift.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought on the Friday, well, I don't have to be in till late, so it's fine, isn't it? I'll be all right. I woke up on the Saturday with probably one of the worst hangovers I've ever had in my life. Managed somehow to get myself to work for 4 o'clock. Still feeling absolutely awful. When you're working in newsagents, I don't think you've ever worked in a shop or anything like that, have you?
No.
One of the perks, it's not a perk really, but you can basically just help yourself to anything. I mean, you pay for it, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But you can just go, oh, it's quite fancy, a can of Coke. Here you go, here's 50p. Well, it used to be 50p. Yeah. But...
Or a topic or something.
Yeah, it's because there's just loads of stuff everywhere, so you just end up getting dead fat, going, oh, yeah, nice, I'll have one of them. Yeah, so. So I got into work, and I was absolutely parched because I was hungover. I was like, oh, God, I need something to sort me out before I start. I arrived about 15 minutes early. So I got myself a pint of milk for some reason. I don't know why. And then went upstairs and I necked it because I was so thirsty. I thought, oh, no, that's not really hit the spot. So I went back downstairs and I said to the person I was working with, I was like, all right, just before I start, I'm just going to have another drink and then we'll get going. So I got myself a litre of orange juice. So I necked that. And then for some reason, I started to feel a little bit ill.
God knows why.
So I started my shift about 10 minutes in, and then somebody had to do the crisps, right? So I went down into the cellar to get the crisps that we needed. These boxes of crisps stacked high, you know, that's what's... all the different types, Walkers, and I just got down there and I thought, oh no. This isn't
is it that when your mouth starts filling with saliva,
yeah, you get that funny taste, you know, it's not normal saliva, and I just like projectile vomited all over these crisps, like, everywhere. It was the worst, right? And I just sat there for about 2 minutes. I thought, what am I gonna do here now? Because it's in a cellar, like, you know, a really confined, warm, damp place. It started to stink. So I didn't know what to do. So I went up to like the other person that was working. I suppose she was a bit more senior than me. So I kind of went, I've just been sick on all the crisps downstairs. She just did the face palm, like,
just the grandma I knew.
Yeah, yeah, the one that lived in Chester. Yeah, yeah. So when I was younger, I used to go over there and like...
She frightened me.
Yeah, well, she was dead nice, but she did terrify me as well. So, sometimes my mum and dad would take me over there and they'd go off and do, I don't know, shopping, probably go to the pub, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And then this one time I went over and she said, oh, I've got this lovely movie for you, this cartoon about rabbits.
Bunny rabbits.
Really lovely, fluffy bunny rabbits. Yeah, so she put it on. And honest to God, right? So it's this rabbit called Fiver. He has a vision that the Warren's going to be destroyed by humans. You know, basically, they're building a housing development. Obviously, right, rabbits, yeah. There are signs about, and you can see, the rabbits can't read, so they don't know. So a few of them get together. And they fought off to form a new Warren, somewhere safe. And being rabbits... obviously, there's peril everywhere. Yeah, so they get snared. There's a farmer with a gun after him. There's dogs chase him and all sorts. Oh, yeah, it's absolutely horrific. It's like blood and guts and everything. Yeah, it's just terrible. And there's this black rabbit that used to really haunt. It still have dreams about it. Really, seriously, because they're sort of constantly chased by death. I can't remember his name now. This is a black ghost rabbit that just got, sort of appears every now and then. It's basically death.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, lovely rabbits. And they just get ripped apart.
Am I right in thinking that you told me years ago you were going to get a tattoo of that rabbit?
Yeah, yeah. It was like kind of face my demons. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that, so, and the thing is, like, so my grandma would be like, oh yeah, did that once. Mm-hmm. But then because she had like a bit of this authority about her, every time I went over, like, because I was about six or seven or something, I couldn't say, oh no, this is scaring the shit out of me. Like, every time I went over, she was like, I've got that film that you really enjoyed. You know, let's watch it again. So I used to just end up just sitting there having to watch it.
Do you want to watch some rabbits die?
I think she just put it on and like buggered off, so she didn't really know what was going on.
Just a cartoon.
Yeah, it just went on for years. Well, maybe not years. I know time gets a bit kind of skewed, doesn't it, when you're that age? But yeah. Every time I go over, she put this warship down. I did watch it recently, actually, to try and face some demons, but yeah, it still scares the shit out of me, to be honest.
So, before we finish, have you ever been to a big magic show? Is it something you've ever been to?
I was trying to think. Not really. I've been to like a circus, and they do sort of tricks there, don't they? They usually have a weird clown thing that they sort of goes around and pulls flowers out of his hat and stuff. So I've seen stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've never been, and I've been to it. Like I said before, I've been to a Derren Brown concert. Is it concert? I don't know, not really a concert, I suppose, but you know what I mean, like a show. So that's sort of similar, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I've never actually been. I don't know. Do they do them anymore? Like, I've never been to one where they cut someone in half. Or
no, no. Like that. When I was quite young, when I was 6, 7, first time my parents ever took me to America. It was New Year's Eve. We were in Tampa Bay, and I'd been really ill with a bit of food poisoning. And we went to see a proper big American magic show.
Mm.
And I was actually picked out of the crowd to go up on stage with a magician.
Only you.
Well, yeah, so this magician, I was 6 or 7 years old, took me, put me on his shoulders, and halfway to the stage, I diarrheaed myself. So I never actually made it.
Diarrheaed yourself?
Diarrheaed myself on the magician's back. He had to change his coat.
Oh, no. Well, certainly right.
So that's
what was the trick? What was he trying to do?
I don't know. I never made it. Never got to stage. I had to go to the toilets and get changed. So, do you have anything else to add to this week's podcast, James?
Oh, fuck. I'm going home.